Man, how many is thankful one day the Lord got a hold of you? Stand with me all over this house as we turn to the word of the Lord. Thankful for the opportunity to be in the house of the Lord today. Thankful to be in His presence. There are many different things you feel in the presence of the Lord. Sometimes it'll make you want to jump. Our junior church may be dismissed. I apologize, I meant to do that before offering, but junior church may be dismissed. Those who are helping with that, if you could go downstairs with the children, would be deeply appreciated. Our junior church may be dismissed. There are many different things you feel sometimes in the presence of the Lord. Sometimes it'll make you want to jump up and down. Sometimes it'll make you want to take off running. And sometimes it'll make you just want to sit there and cry your eyes out in His presence. But I'm thankful for every touch. I'm thankful for every moment, every second, every time that I get to walk through these doors and we usher in the presence of God Almighty. I'm thankful for every single time He touches us and He makes us new again. There's just something about the touch of God today. Amen. There's just something about the touch of God today. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians. The first chapter. I do want to preach for just a few moments if you'll help get behind this preacher today. I know it's been an awkward time. And I know that we're somber in our hearts. And I know there's an outpouring of love. We've also got miracles taking place in the house of God. And we got more miracles that we need to take place in the house of God. Amen. So if you just help me for just a few moments, I want to preach to you today out of the book of 2 Corinthians, the first chapter. I'm going to be reading verse 7 through 11. 2 Corinthians, the seventh chapter, or first chapter, I'm sorry. The first chapter, I'm going to be reading verse 7 through 11. Stand with me today all over this house for the reading of the word of the Lord. Amen. When you get there, you can shout out amen. If you don't have your Bibles, the words are provided for you. I think there's a little bit of partiality in this church. These guys give you guys big letters on the screen. Poor old pastor needs some glasses to see the back. So, we're going to have a discussion about that at the next leadership meeting. We're in the book of 2 Corinthians, the first chapter and the seventh verse. 2 Corinthians, the first chapter and the seventh verse. Amen. The words are on the screen behind me. If you do not have your Bibles, if you do not have a Bible at your home, please see me. I will make sure you have a Bible. Every home in this church needs a Bible. We'll make sure that you have a Bible. Amen. Before I jump into the word of the Lord today, I want to say it's good to see Sister Ashley with us today since we've been missing you. Tell Brother Craig we miss him too. It's so good to see you in the house of the Lord today. And we're excited to have you with us. 2 Corinthians, the first chapter and the seventh verse. The word of the Lord says by the Apostle Paul, and our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. My God, we serve a God that won't just leave you out there to suffer. He'll console you also. Praise the Lord. We're not only partakers of the suffering, so shall ye be also of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia. We were pressed out of measure, Turn to your neighbor and say, pressed out of measure. We would not have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, but Paul said we were pressed out of measure. That word pressed means burdened. We were burdened beyond our own abilities. Above our strength, and so much, he said, that we despaired even of life. They were having a hard way to go, church. They were having a hard way to go. But listen, verse 9 says, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves. We should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Yet also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. With the help of the Lord, I want to preach to you today this: pressed out of measure. Pressed out of measure. I want you to lay your Bibles down in your seats. I want you to lift your praises unto the Lord. Come on, let's make a joyful noise together unto the Lord. Somebody clap your hands. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody say, thank you, Lord, for waking me up this morning. Come on, somebody go ahead and step out in faith. Somebody go ahead and step out in faith for your healing. Come on, thank him for it right now. Thank him before it even happened. Thank him, Lord, you're able to do it. Go before us, Lord. You're able to do it today. We give you the praise. We give you the thanks. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, bless your word today, Lord. God bless you. You may be seated. I want to preach to you on this topic, pressed out of measure. Amen. Paul said in this passage of Scripture that he was burdened or pressed beyond measure. You hear people misquote the Bible. I've had many times I've had to go back myself and search the Scriptures for things that people told me was in there, and I found out they were not in there at all. How many's ever heard somebody say to you, the Bible says that the Lord will never put more on you than you can bear? You know that's not in the Bible. That is not in the Bible. It says he will not tempt you above what ye are able to bear. But the Bible does not tell us that the Lord will not put on us more than we are able to bear. In fact, by reading the Scriptures that the Apostle Paul penned, we see that it is actually just the opposite. I have had many times in my life where I thought I had more on me than I could bear. I've had times in my life where my troubles went beyond my capabilities. My problems were too big for me to solve. I've had many times I've had to create a dependency upon the Lord because I knew that all hope was gone and my only hope was in Jesus. Can I tell somebody today, listen, the Bible does not say that the Lord will not put more on you than you can bear. But in fact, we learn that the Lord wants us to have a dependency upon him. He wants us to have a dependency upon him. The truth is, sometimes, church, life does put more on us than we can bear. We watched this morning as a young man lay in a fetal position in the back of this church because he was not able to bear the news that his grandmother was gone. Sometimes life will put more on us than we can bear. But listen, just because life puts more on us than we can bear doesn't mean that there's not always hope in Jesus Christ. There's always hope in Jesus Christ. Listen, we are all pressed beyond measure sometimes. The Hebrew children had the furnace. No matter how much they prayed, they still had to go to the furnace. Daniel had the lion's den. No doubt he questioned God, why? I pray to you three times every day, even when they tell me not to do it, but I still got to go down in this den. The Hebrew children had the furnace of fire. Daniel had the lion's den. Joseph had the pit that his own family threw him in. Moses was pursued by Pharaoh. David was pursued by Saul. And Paul and Silas were cast into prison. John was exiled to the island of Patmos to live all alone the rest of his days. Samson had his eyes plucked out. Job lost everything that he had. Church, we all come to a place in life sometime where hope is all we have to hang on to. We all come to a place in life sometimes where hope is all we have to hang on to. And we are brought to a place where trusting in the Lord is our only option. One of the things about hope that I want to get down in your soul today is hope should shine the brightest when it stems or when it is birthed from fear. Come on. Anytime there's fear that may come into your life, we should shine brighter because we have an anchor of hope. My God, come on. How many know the anchor holds today? How many know the anchor holds today? We have an anchor of hope that is both sure and steadfast. It's not going anywhere. The anchor holds today, church. We should not trust in ourselves, the Apostle Paul said. We should not trust in ourselves, but we should trust in Him that raises the dead and can deliver us from death. The Lord is on our side, and I will not fear. What can man do unto me? Praise God. Amen. The Lord taketh my part, the scripture says, with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Come on. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. The scripture says, I shall not die, but I shall live. Come on, and though I were dead, yet shall I live. Amen, yet shall I live and declare the works of God, says the psalmist in the book of Psalms 118. Church, I want you to understand something today. Fear can only torment you if you lose your hope in God. Come on, listen, fear will grip your heart. Fear will cause you to live a different life, but fear can only torment you if you lose your hope in God. Come on, somebody. We are saved by hope, the Bible says. And hope that is seen is not hope at all. Amen. But we got to learn to walk by faith and not by sight. We got to learn to put our trust in God. Even when times get hard, we got to learn that we are saved by hope. Can I tell somebody today that there is still hope and we are still saved by that hope, even when we are pressed beyond measure. Even when we are pressed beyond measure. You know what we need to learn to do? We as the body of Christ today, we need to learn to pray like Nehemiah and Daniel did. You know what we need to learn to do as the body of Christ? We need to learn to obey like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. We need to learn to lead like Moses and Joshua did. We need to learn to build like Noah and Solomon did. We need to learn to fight like David did. We need to learn to serve like Martha did. We need to learn to believe in God like Mary did. Hallelujah. We need to learn to rise like Lazarus did. Praise God. We need to learn to educate and teach like Paul did, and we need to learn to protect like Peter did. I mean, no, you got to protect this precious walk with God that He's given you. You protect it by a faithful church life, faithful prayer life, a faithful study life. Amen. We got to learn to protect like Peter did. Come on, listen, he didn't bat an eye. Even though the Lord rebuked him, he knew he was there to defend Jesus. And he was there to protect the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when most of all, we need to learn to love like Jesus did. We need to learn to love like Jesus did. But church, listen to me. These things are not going to happen if we are never pressed out of measure. These things are never going to happen. We are never going to experience. We are never going to see the miraculous as long as we are concerned about our own comfortability. Comfortability. For you English professors. We're never going to experience the miraculous if we're concerned about remaining comfortable. Sometimes the Lord has to press you out of measure in order to reveal just how good he can be to you in your life. Amen. You're never going to see the miraculous trying to stay comfortable. Your comfort will become your carcass. Oh, my God, I'm getting a little bit harsh in here. Somebody hear this preacher today. Your comfort will become your carcass today. Listen, yes, the darkness will make you uncomfortable. Yes, the times of trouble and the times of problems will make you uncomfortable. Yes, the trials and the tribulations will press you beyond measure. But we are still saved by hope today. And we got to hold on to that hope today. And in our weakness, he is made strong. And if we'll stop obstructing him, come on, if we'll stop obstructing him, if we'll stop getting in his way all the time, if we'll start walking by faith and not by sight, and if we'll put our trust in the Lord with all of our heart today, then maybe the Lord will bring us out. Maybe the Lord will show us the miraculous. Maybe the Lord will do the unthinkable today. Amen. Listen, when a train goes through a tunnel and it gets dark, you don't throw away your ticket and jump off the train. You sit still. You put your trust in the engineer. And you wait until you come out of the dark tunnel. Listen to me. You need to learn to put your trust in God. No matter how dark the tunnel gets today, you got to keep your trust in God today. Come on. You don't, listen, when a plane goes through the sky and it experiences some turbulence, you don't throw your plane ticket away and jump out the window of the plane if you got a right mind. No, you sit still. You put your trust in the pilot. You put your trust in the pilot. You put your trust in the pilot. No matter how rough the road may get, sometimes you got to keep your trust in the pilot today. Hallelujah. You don't throw away your plane ticket and jump out the window of the plane. You sit still, you wait, and you put your trust in the pilot. When a ship gets out to sea, I mean, he's ever been on a cruise ship. When a ship gets out to sea in the water and a storm arises, and the waves get rough, you don't throw away your ticket and jump off of the side of the boat. You sit still and you put your trust in the captain because he knows what he's doing. No matter how rough the road may get, you got to keep your trust in the Lord today. You got to keep your trust in the Lord today. Somebody hear me today. God said you're coming out. Somebody hear me today. God said, if you'll sit still, I know the tunnel's dark. God said, if you'll sit still, I know the ride's getting rough. God said, if you'll sit still, I know that the road is rough. I know the storms are rising. I know the rain's falling. But God said, if you'll sit still and see the salvation of the Lord, if you'll wait up on the Lord, God said, you're coming out. Hallelujah. God said you're coming out. Just because you're pressed beyond measure don't mean he is. Oh, my God. Come on, saints of God. Just because you're pressed out of measure don't mean that he is. He is never pressed beyond measure. All things are within his hands. Come on, his hand is not short. His ear is not deaf. God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly above anything you could ever think or ask. You need to sit still. You need to wait upon the Lord. You need to say, I'll lift mine eyes unto the hill whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. Somebody hear me today, you're coming out. Somebody hear me today, you're coming out. Just because you're pressed beyond measure doesn't mean that God is. Just because you can't see how he's going to do it don't mean that he can't do it. He can do it today. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, he can do it today. He can do it today. Listen to me. God never wants us to waste a good battle. My God, somebody needs to hear this preacher today. God never wants us to waste a good battle. Every battle is a prelude to a victory. Ooh, I wish I had some people who was believing in God today. Every battle is a prelude to a victory. Come on, listen, listen, watch this. When Jesus was led up by the Spirit, the Bible says, into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. The Bible says that he was full of the Holy Ghost. Right? He was full. So going in, Jason, he was full of the Holy Ghost. Now, after he overcame everything that the devil could possibly throw at him, the Bible says he returned to Galilee in the power of the Holy Ghost. If you'll hold on to the Spirit of God that's in your life, if you'll hold on to the promises that God has given you, you'll hold on to the presence of the Holy Ghost in your life. You will go in full, but you'll come out with all power, all authority. You'll have power and authority over everything the devil can throw at you in your life. If you'll just hold on to God today, hold on to his promises, hold on to his promises today. You'll go in full, but you'll come out with power. You'll go in full, but you'll come out with power over everything the devil wants to throw at you. Jesus went in full of the Holy Ghost. He overcame everything the devil threw at him. And on the way back to Galilee, the Bible says he returned in the power of the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you something. There's power in the Holy Ghost today. There's power in living for God today. There's power in not giving up today. There's power in trusting in the Lord with all of your heart today. There's power in overcoming everything that the devil threw at you today. You just got to hold on to the promises that God has given you. Don't think for one moment that you're not going to be pressed beyond measure, because you're going to be pressed beyond measure. Don't think for one moment there's not going to be times in your life that you can handle everything that's thrown at you. No. No, in our weakness, he is made strong. Come on, just because we're pressed beyond measure don't mean that he is. And if we are in him, he's going to give us the victory over whatever we have to go through. Whatever we have to go through. You're going in full, but you're going to come out after resisting and pushing your way through everything the devil throws at you. You're going to come out with the power to overcome. Praise God, there's power to overcome if you'll hold on in times when you're pressed beyond measure. No doubt the woman with the issue of blood thought that her life was over. She'd spent all she had, seen every doctor she could. But let me tell you something, she only had one hope left. Church, sometimes God will put you in a position where he's all the hope you got. He's all the hope you got. If you hope in Jesus, you hope in God's promises, you hold on to his hand, the Lord will never leave you and he'll never forsake you. Every battle is a prelude to a victory. So the next time the devil comes at you with all he's got, say, that's all right, bring it on. This is just the beginning of my victory. My God. Come on, that's why Paul said, come on, I praise him. I rejoice in tribulation. I rejoice in trials and hardships and problems. Because Paul understood that every battle, every trouble, every trial was the beginning of a victory. Listen to me today, church. If you'll sit still and put your trust in the captain, if you'll sit still, put your trust in the engineer, if you'll sit still and put your trust in the pilot, you're coming out. You're coming out. In Jesus' name, you're coming out. In the name of Jesus Christ, you're coming out. The devil can't have you. The devil can't destroy you. The devil can't overcome you. Hold to the promises of God. They're yea and amen. They're yea and amen. They're yea and amen. If God said it, believe it. If God said it, it's going to happen. Come on, come on. Just because you're pressed beyond measure don't mean God is. He's bigger, he's bigger. He can do it today. He can do it today. Just because we're pressed beyond measure don't mean God is. Hallelujah. Come on. It's just a prelude to your victory. Your victory is on the way. All you got to do is just start rejoicing. Don't you know that's why the children of Israel, when they would assemble an army, they put Judah first? They didn't send out the bows and the arrows. They didn't send out the sword and the spear. They didn't send out the horses and the chariots. They put the praisers first. They put the rejoicers first. You got to go into your battle rejoicing. You got to go into your battle believing that God's going to make a way where there is no way. You got to go into your battle believing that God's bigger than your problem. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, that the righteous run therein and are saved. The Lord can do it today. Just because we're pressed beyond measure does not mean that God is. And Paul told us in this passage of scripture that he was pressed so far beyond measure, he was in despair even of life. He didn't even want to live no more. That's how much despair Paul was in. But let me tell you something, God didn't leave him. God didn't forsake him. God went all the way with him. Every battle is a prelude to a victory. And if you'll hold on to the Spirit of God inside you, come on, the Lord will bring you out. Don't worry about being pressed beyond measure, because you're in Christ Jesus and he's never pressed beyond measure. Church, listen to me today. The Lord rejoices when you come out victorious. My God, Jesus went in full of the Holy Ghost. He come out victorious. He come out triumphant. He come out in the power of the Holy Ghost on the way back to Galilee. That's exactly what the Lord wants for us. The Lord rejoices with us when we are victorious. The Lord rejoices with us when we get our miracle. The Lord rejoices with us when we get our healing. The Lord rejoices with us when we come out triumphant today. Ah, the Lord rejoices when the backslider comes home, when your children are saved, when your children receive the Holy Ghost, when your children get baptized into the body of Christ. The Lord rejoices with you. The Lord rejoices with you. Listen, the whole purpose of this chapter is Paul's teaching, letting the church know that we do not only share in the sufferings of Christ, but we also are part of the consolation of Christ. Come on, he won't only put you through the ringer, but he'll put you through the ringer and he'll make you better than you were before the ringer. What don't kill you is going to make you stronger. What don't kill you is going to make you realize how good God is. What don't kill you is going to give you a new beginning. What don't kill you is going to give you a new perspective. What don't kill you is going to give you more faith in God. I wish there was somebody in this house that realized it don't matter if you're pressed beyond your measure. God can do it today. God can do it today. He's never pressed beyond measure. We in our frailty, we in our carnality, we in this old crusty flesh. Now, I know some of y'all got beautiful skin. Mine? We, in this carnal condition, are pressed beyond what we can handle. We're pressed beyond what we're capable of. But we serve a God that's bigger than our circumstance. We serve a God that's bigger than our problem. We serve a God that's the captain and the engineer and the pilot, all three in one. We serve a God that will bring you out if you hold on to the promises of God today. The whole purpose of this chapter is for Paul to let this church know we don't only share in the sufferings of Christ, but we also share in His glory and in His goodness. Church, all my life, God has been good to me. All my life, God has been good to me. God has been so good to me. Listen, when my spouse is not good to me, God is good to me. Come on, sorry, Serena. My spouse is not good to me. God is good to me. When my friends turn their back on me, God is good to me. When my profession lets me down, when my brother and sister in Christ lets me down, when my family lets me down, when my finances let me down, when my health fails me, God is good to me. God is good to me. He'll bring me out. He'll bring me through. He'll give me what I need. He's never pressed beyond measure. He's never pressed beyond measure. Oh, clap our hands unto the Lord and give Him some praise in this house today. Sha-ta-ta-ta-la-bo-ka-ta. Come on, clap our hands and give Him some praise in this house today. He's never pressed beyond measure. He's never pressed beyond measure. Come on, the Lord can bring you through what you're going through. My God, somebody hear this preacher today. I know you're pressed beyond measure. I know what you're going through is too much. Oh, Jesus. What you're going through is too much for you to handle. But listen to me, if you'll just be like little David and say, "The Lord, Lord, the battle is not mine, it's yours. I'm giving it to you. It's your battle. I'm in your favor. I'm in you, Jesus. I'm in you, Christ Jesus. The battle doesn't belong to me. It belongs to you." Sit back and trust the captain. Sit back and trust the engineer. Don't discard your ticket. Don't get off the highway of holiness. Don't get off the pathway that leads to heaven. Don't go back to Egypt today. I know you might feel pressed beyond measure, but the Lord will not fail you. The Lord will not fail you. Come on. My friends turn their back on me. God's still good to me. When all hell assails me, God's still good to me. I want you to understand something today. The hotter the day, the hotter the day is, the greater the dew is at night. Somebody hear me. Somebody hear me. The hotter the day is, the greater the dew is at night. The hotter the trial, the harder the temptation, the greater the dew of the refreshing of God is. You're about to get yourself a new beginning. You're about to come out into some daylight. You're about to learn your trust in God will pay off. You're about to understand in your frailty, in your carnality, God is never pressed beyond measure. Although we are pressed beyond measure, although sometimes life is not fair to us, and sometimes we get what we do not deserve. And sometimes we are pressed beyond our measure. The Lord knows exactly what we need. Church, the Lord knows exactly what we need today. And when suffering abounds, consolation also abounds. Come on. Come on. When suffering abounds, when we go through the furnace, there's a God that will go with us. Consolation also abounds. He will not fail you. Our consolation is in Christ Jesus. Stand with me all over this house as the musicians come quickly. Pressed out of measure, burdened beyond what you can handle. It's not the first time. It's not going to be the last time. All your days, the enemy's going to try to take what does not belong to him. All your days. Listen to me. Job was a perfect and upright man, the Bible records. And one day when the saints of God assembled themselves together, the Bible says the devil came also. Seeking, he said, the Lord asked him, he said, where have you been? From whence comest thou? He said, walking to and fro, up and down the earth, seeking whom I may devour. And the Lord says, have you considered my servant Job? You know what the devil's response was? You know I can't touch him. You know you got a hedge about him. You know your protection is about him. Come on. And the Lord says, I tell you what I do. I got this much confidence in Job. I'm going to remove the hedge and I'm going to let you afflict him. Because you know what? Job's about to do a new beginning. Job's about to do a prelude to a victory. Job's about to do a refreshing. Come on, church, listen to me today. Your battle is the prelude to your victory. The Lord's about to do the miraculous for you if you keep your trust in him. If you do what you're supposed to do, if you're faithful to God, he'll be faithful to you. You know, in Christ, the design is supposed to be that the end is better than the beginning. If you do what you're supposed to do, your ending will be better than your beginning. When I get on my mower at the house and my grass is tall because I've been working late, when I get off of the mower, the yard always looks better than it did when I got on the mower. The dandelions and the crabgrass and the weeds are no longer rising above all of the regular grass because I tended to it. The end is better than the beginning. When we're at the house and my wife takes those dirty, stained up clothes out of the laundry hamper, she takes them downstairs and she puts them in the washer and she washes them. They don't always come out perfect, but they sure enough come out better than they went in. Because the end is supposed to be better than the beginning. But if you don't ever get on the mower, or if you don't ever carry the hamper downstairs, your ending is not going to be better than your beginning. Sometimes we're going to be pressed beyond measure. Sometimes life's going to deal us things we don't deserve. Sometimes life's going to get harder than we can handle. But it's not time to jump off the train or off the ship. It's not time. It's not time to jump out of the airplane. It's time to sit back and trust the pilot. It's time to sit back and see the salvation of God. It's time to remind the Lord of his promises. Lord, you gave me these promises. They're yea and amen. Lord, I'm holding you to your promise. I'm a child of the King. You've never failed me to this moment. Lord, I know that it's not in your nature to fail me. We got to hold on to the promises of God today, church. We got to hold on to the promises of God today. A little trimming helps sometimes. A little washing helps sometimes. Sometimes we need pressed beyond our measure. Paul said, I was pressed so far out of measure that I didn't even want to live anymore. I didn't have no zeal for life anymore. But when life presses us beyond measure, we got a friend that sticks closer than any brother. We got a friend that sticks closer than any brother today. Come on, we have a very present help in the time of trouble. Trouble can't have you. Trouble can't overcome you if you go in full of the Holy Ghost. If you go in holding on to the promises of God, you're going to return in the power of God, triumphant and victorious. The Lord is able to do it today. Come on, get out of those seats as we get ready to open these altars today. If there's anybody in this house that feels you've been pressed beyond measure lately, you feel that life has gotten so hard that all you got left is to trust in Jesus. Let me tell you about the woman that poured out her tears to wash the feet of Jesus. In the first century church, it was believed that the more tears you collected, when those people would have sorrow, they had a little thing that was attached to their vessel. They would take it and they would take the top off of it and they would catch their tears in the bottle. And at the end of their days, they would only hope that they had accumulated enough tears throughout their lifetime that they could purchase their salvation. So when she took that little vessel and she twisted the top off of it and she poured it upon the feet of the master and began to wash his feet, she was making a bold statement to the Lord. She was saying, Lord, you're the only hope I got. You're the only hope I got. This ain't enough to purchase my salvation. But if I put my trust in you, if I hold on to your promises that you've given me, if I sit still and watch the salvation of the Lord work, I know you're going to bring me out. She was making a bold statement to the Lord. Lord, my hope, my trust is in you. You're the only hope I have for salvation. There's anybody in this house today? Today may not be your day that you're pressed beyond measure, but tomorrow might be. Next week might be. Next month might be. I come to tell you today, you can go in full, but you can return with the power of the Holy Ghost. But you need to be prepared when your season comes to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Would you get out of those seats today? Would you come to the front of this church? And when you say, Lord, I've been pressed beyond my measure, but you're capable, you're able to do what I cannot do because